open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to be reading some verses from chapter 12, the second letter of epistle from Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. The apostle says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure to the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." First of all, I would like to thank those of you who pray for our family and our ministry in Mexico. Particularly, especially, we appreciate your prayers and support during our son's illness and going away home. I've been asked to share with you to give a testimony of what we have learned from our son's battle with leukemia. I think this is one of the hardest assignments I ever got. First of all, I don't like to speak in English. I don't. My heart, my emotions, my intellect, everything's in Spanish. So it's hard for me sometimes to get the words out. I hope you understand. Also, I don't like to speak about myself, but more especially this morning, and this is the first time I do something like this, I don't like to speak about Paquito's illness. But what I would like to do this morning, briefly, is to underline three things from the passage that we have read of 2 Corinthians 12 that relate to my testimony. Three things from the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10 that relate to my testimony. And the first thing is a lesson we learn from verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." And the lesson, the principle, the thing I would like to underline this morning that relates to my testimony is that God sometimes does not answer our prayers according to our wishes. God, the Lord, Jehovah, sometimes does not answer our prayers according to our wishes. Three times Paul prayed to the Lord. Three times Paul went to the Lord in real prayer for this problem. We don't know exactly what the problem was. We know it was a thorn in the flesh. But God said, "No, my grace is sufficient." We must take into account that Paul was an apostle, not a Christian, a regular Christian from Corinth or Ephesus. Not any man. It was Paul, the apostle Paul, a man of prayer. I don't know how many times in his epistles he says, "I pray for you." and I pray for you, and I pray for you that God does this, that God does that. And I was thinking the other day, and obviously he was not being hypocritical. He was being sincere and truthful, that he prayed for all these people. And how many churches did he have to pray for? Certainly he was a man of prayer. Now this problem came, and he prayed to the Lord, and he was a man of prayer. He was an apostle. But God said, no. We prayed for Paquito. Many people all over the world pray for Paquito. This is one of the good, all the blessings of the internet, of the email. And brethren from Australia, Wales, Britain, Europe, Germany, pray for Paquito. And our family and your churches, we pray for Paquito. To me, one of the sweetest and sincerest prayers was Paquito's own. It was very short and simple, childlike. He prayed, God, heal me. That was all he prayed. One time I heard him pray. And I honestly thought, there's so many people in the world, godly people, prayer warriors, pastors, churches, praying for my son. God will surely heal him. But God said no. Three times Paul, the apostle, prayed, and God said no. I was so sad, so discouraged when the Lord did not answer our prayers. And the doctor told us, Paquito has about 3 months to live. But the Lord comforted me when he reminded me of another man who prayed 3 times. He was a perfect man, a man who God always heard, a man in such a pain and sadness that he said, I'm anguished unto death. But he comforted me to Christ. Because the Lord said, no. Christ prayed 3 times. But he gave us the key, the factor, the secret, the password, if you will, in his own prayers and Gethsemane. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not my will, but your will. In our prayers in life, we must always pray and hope with biblical hope. God, the Lord Almighty, do according to your will. As God wills, as God wishes, that's the best for us. But most importantly, it's the best way to glorify Him. We may not understand how. We may not understand why. But as the confession says, He is most wise, most holy, most loving, merciful, abundant in goodness, working all things according to the counsel of His most righteous will for His glory. Do you remember our Lord was going to Calvary? Our Lord was going to Golgotha to die for our sins. And He's hungry. 100% God, yes, but also 100% man. He is hungry. And He is going to Jerusalem. He's going to Calvary. And as a man, He's hungry. And He sees afar off a fig tree. A beautiful fig tree. And the fig tree has leaves. And he gets close to the tree, and there's no space. The Lord curses the tree. The tree dries up and dies. I had no problem with that. The Lord was showing His power, His faith. My problem was when I read in another gospel, there was no faith because that was not the season for faith. Have you noticed that? There was no fig in that tree because it was not the season, the time for fig. And that bothered me. The tree was innocent. The tree was faultless. It was not time for figs. So, the solution came when I spoke to the tree. No, I'm crazy, but not that much. In my imagination. In my imagination, I spoke to the tree. And I asked the tree, what do you think? What is your opinion regarding this? That the Lord curse you and you dry up and die. And the fig tree answered me, I am the most privileged of all the fig trees. I am one of His creatures. And the Lord chose me. And I die. I dried up for His glory. Paquito was beautiful, handsome, intelligent, innocent. Not because he was born innocent, but because he was justified by God. He was saved in an early age. It seemed not right for him to suffer all the chemo treatment, all the pain, and yet die 4 years later. But I'm sure that if I could talk to him, he will tell me I am the most privileged of all the children to die so young, to glorify God. God sometimes does not answer our prayers according to our wishes, but He does it for His glory. And that is our life. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man, the purpose of the life of every man, is to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That's the first thing that I would like to underline from this passage that relates to my testimony. The second thing from this passage of 2 Corinthians 12 that relates to my testimony is that God always gives us sufficient grace to endure until the end. Verse 9 says, and He, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. From the very beginning, God gave us grace. Throughout the 4 years and a half of treatment and test, He gave us strength to Paquito and to the whole family. By His grace, we were able to pay all bills, and it was expensive, even though we had no insurance. Week by week, sometimes day by day, He will provide through His people. Some of you did. And I'm sure that there is a special reward for you in heaven. By His grace, we were able to persevere in the faith. It was hard. The devil is very astute and cruel. There were other sicknesses in the family. Sadness, even depression. But God help us through His grace to persevere. As our brother Thomas was saying the other night, Christ, our high priest, was interceding for us. People from all the world wrote us, emailed us. God sent some books into my hands that really helped me in my spiritual life at that time, my family. From the beginning unto the end, His grace was sufficient. He gave us grace every day, even unto the last day. People could not believe it. I could not believe it. But I was able to preach Paquito's funeral service with great hope. And it was God's sufficient grace. God always is to blame. Sufficient grace and tribulation. Now, the last thing that I would like to notice of this passage is that God desires us to relate in Christ's power, not our own. God desires us, God wants us to relate in Christ's power, not our own. Verse 9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paradoxical, isn't it? When I am weak, then I am strong. I guess that if I learn anything about myself from Bakitius' illness, is that I found out how weak, how sinful, how unbelieving I am. Before, I thought that I was pretty strong, healthy in body. My mind was okay. My character was better than most. But to use the language of our day, I had a pretty healthy self-esteem, according to me. But God showed me how weak I am, how dependent I am on Him, even for the breath of life. God was telling me, Paco, you are weak. Paco, you are sinful. Paco, you are unbelieving. The saddest thing, I guess, was to realize how sinful I am. When I should have been closer to God, praying more, living a more holy life, doubt came, temptations came, sin came. I learned firsthand to say with the parents of the gospel, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my weakness. Lord, I believe. Help my sin. God wants us to relate not in our own strength, but in Christ and His power. Let me finish with some practical lessons that we learn and that you can apply to your life.
Number one,
make sure that your kids are ready for heaven. Make sure that your kids are ready for heaven. You, as a parent, as a father, as a mother, are most responsible for their salvation. You, not your pastor, not the Sunday school teacher. You must teach them. You must have family devotionals with them. I was looking at some statistics. In a good, very good church, and the question was asked of those families, how many of you have regular family devotionals? In a good, fundamental, orthodox, reformed church, less than half of the family were getting together. You must talk to them. You must speak to them about the Lord. Don't wait for later. Don't wait. Even if your child is one day old, sing to him, talk to him about the Lord. People say, I don't know if it's true, that the fetus inside the mother can hear music and comfort him and all that. I don't know. It may be. Sing to him about the Lord. Don't wait. Did you know that Pastor Walden's son, 16-year-old son, died? He had a 16-year-old son. His son was fine. Perfect. Said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to take a shower. Suddenly, died. 16 years old. Also, make sure your kids are safe, going to heaven. Make sure you are going to heaven. Make sure yourself are ready for heaven. You are not going to live forever. I guess that's one of the first lessons I ever learned from God. I was 10 years old, and my father was away, 3,000, I don't know how many thousand miles away on a business trip. I was 10 years old, and my mother suddenly died in my arms. 10 years old, confronted with the fact of death. And ever since, my conscience and my heart and my God reminds me, I am not going to live forever. We are a generation that have many medicines, technology, incredible technology. We live now up to the age of 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, I don't know. 120, I heard. 128 is the record, I don't know. But we all are going to die. I'm reading through the lives of the Puritans, and it's amazing to me how they prepared to die. Back then, when the wife, the mother, was going to give birth, the pastor came and knocked at the door and wanted to talk to the lady to make sure that she was prepared to die. Amazing to me, reading through the lives of those godly Puritans, and they die in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and they were ready. Make sure your kids and you yourself are ready to die. Number two, get rest and strength from the Lord. Read His Word. Renew your mind.
rest in His promises.
I was asking Julia, my wife, what is that helped you the most through all of this in Paquito Field? And she went to her room and she got her notebook. And I said, "What is this?" And she opened the notebook. And for every day, she had a promise. May such a date. The doctor said, "Paquito will last." And then she wrote a promise. Rest in His promises. Renew your mind. Read His word. Number 3. If you ever are under tribulation, great or small affliction, if you are ever under tribulation, take heart. The Lord will provide. In His grace, He will provide all that you need for life and godliness. In His grace, He will provide all that you need for life and godliness. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter what you need. The Lord or God will provide. Number 4. As a Christian, receive afflictions, sicknesses, accidents, problems as proof of your sonship. As a Christian, receive afflictions, sicknesses, accidents, problems as evidence that you are the son, the daughter of God. Hebrews 12:6. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth? Now, before Paquito got sick, before Paquito was diagnosed with leukemia, I read some of the books written by our beloved brother, Dr. Lloyd-Jones. There's a book on revival. There's a book on abundant joy. And I read about the assurance. The assurance of salvation that the people of God get in times of revival, when they are 100% sure of their salvation. Some of those doctrines, the seal of the Holy Spirit, it may be that you not believe those things, but I got to the point where I got on my knees and said, "Lord, will you make me 100% sure that when I die, I go to heaven?" Strange. But in God's wisdom, Paquito's illness was the way that God used to tell me, "You are my son. You are one." Receive affliction, tribulation, as proof of His love. The Christian is telling you, "You are my son." And lastly, consider that God replaces what you lose for His sake. If not here, in heaven. Consider that God replaces what you lose for His sake.
is not here
in heaven.
Remember Job?
Remember what it says to be Job.
He had 10 kids. And they all died. And one day, suddenly, all of them, 10 kids.
How beautiful it is to read the last chapter of Job. And God gave him another 10 children. And Job's daughter were the most beautiful in all the earth. Few people know that my little boy, Alan Rafael, was not supposed to be born. We were not expecting him. At that time, because of Paquito's illness, we wanted to wait. We did not want an extra burden, especially on my wife, while Paquito was sick. But God knew what he was doing when he sent us Alan Rafael. He was replacing Paquito with another beautiful baby. And if you ask me, I think he's the most beautiful one of the life. He was working all things according to the counsel of his most righteous will for his glory. Let's pray.